A character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. She's a stunt granny.
And we're back, gang. Hey, it's new opening music, new everything for the beginning of the show. This is Stunt Granny Audio 152. It's Jeremy and Kevin again. Go figure. So hello, Kevin.
What's up? You can tell the kids why we have the new intro and new music.
Well, I will wait until we actually make sure, because just because it's submitted doesn't mean they actually take us. I mean, could Apple get any more elitist? There's just snobby fucks.
Hey.
Yeah. So in just in case, we're trying to get on iTunes, so that's automatically, you can automatically subscribe. That's basically what Kevin's alluding to. That's our tech support's job. He's done a fine job of figuring it out. And so he's kind of off the hook, for going missing in action this weekend, even though it was clearly stated in an email what was going on. But yeah. Whatever. So we're here to talk some wrestling. We just got done talking about Beverly Hills Cop 3. You missed a fine conversation. Yes. It ended with, it's a horrible, lifeless movie. So let's start with the big topic. And I posted on it, and the exhaustion was genuine. Matt Hardy got pulled over. Well, is it really pulled over? I guess it'd be just got straight up arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you crash your car, you don't really get pulled over, I suppose. Matt Hardy got arrested this weekend for drunken driving, for running his Corvette into a tree. And take it from someone who ran his car in high school into a telephone pole, the cars never win. So there's that.
Yep, he did do that.
Yeah, so
I just like that he was, they said in the report that he wasn't drunk, but that he was under impairment, which is outstanding, considering that his brother is up for drug trafficking.
Yeah. I guess the post from TMZ said DWI, but that's driving while intoxicated, right?
Yeah, no.
And then DUI is driving under influence, which means it could be anything. Is that how that works?
I think so. I always thought the DWI was less not as bad, I guess.
Hmm.
Well, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I fortunately never been pulled over for that and never gotten in an accident drunk. I was driving at least, but so regardless of semantics, whatever, Hardy got himself in trouble. Hardy got fired by TNA for this, but I got to figure it was a compounded issue.
He was off for no reason ever admitted on TV or over the internet by TNA.
Right.
You know, at least we know that, you know, Sin Cara is on the hook for wellness policy violation and this, that, and the other thing. Like, normally in the WWE, that stuff leaks out, but that's how much no one genuinely cared about what really happened to Matt Hardy.
That
nobody took the time to find out why he really got suspended.
Right. And Matt Hardy is obviously a fun punching bag for us. I mean, I don't think we can get around that fact at all. I'm still taking credit for it. I got him to take down that video of him and Jeff tasering his girlfriend. While Jeff is clearly intoxicated, while he's got all these charges coming up still. Now, I'm not saying not to drink while, you know, you're on federal. Is it federal? Whatever it is.
No, state.
State charges? Thank you. But be smart about it and don't, you know, allow yourself to be out in public, especially with recording devices of all sorts that can catch it, post it, and make you look like an idiot and further weaken your case, make you look like a fool. Unlike your brother Matt, who just plowed into a tree, that's done it weekly, it seems, with his Matt Hardy shows that we used to constantly watch and ridicule.
We, as in Jeremy. Let's be clear on this.
But I shared them, and you guys watched some of them. Yeah. Me pointing out the highlights, my favorite parts of each one. but man, it's, and I mean, it was done for a joking manner, but it really is exhausting just piling on this guy now.
Well, I think it's hard to pile on at this point because there's not going to be anything more to pile on. You know, like, he's done. You know, I mean, what relevance is he going to have? Like, even TNA canned him. The WWE isn't going to pick him up.
Oh, well, of course not. No. I wanted to say Ring of Honor, maybe, or maybe someone that's looking to make a difference. But I clearly, and it is the wrestling business, and this doesn't really matter, but you would think that somebody would come up and say, you know, you've got your issues, you're unhireable right now. But, you know, TNA is a different example because of them hiring Jeff Hardy. But he is unhireable right now. Can you name somebody else that got fired from TNA? I mean, even the Young Bucks, they got the release. They requested it. I'm trying to think of somebody.
Did Chris Harris get?
No. Canned? His contract came up and he left.
Oh, okay.
But I'm honestly trying to think of somebody, and we made this joke before. Matt is the first person I can remember being fired.
Yeah, no, I can't recall anyone offhand.
So, I guess this is where you start to question his support group as well. I mean, his personal life, he puts his personal life out there on display through his videos, through Twitter. And I'm trying to bring him up on Twitter here, so bear with me a sec. But just to get what the hell he was talking about.
Okay. I was expecting you to get some type of a point.
Yeah, no, it's the point of it is, he always puts out these like stupid sayings, or he's always saying, "I'm going to overcome," or "Don't bet against me," or, you know, WWE was a prison; they were keeping me down; they didn't use me right. Then he goes to TNA. I don't remember what he did in TNA.
Cold-blooded. It was cold-blooded Matt Hardy.
Yeah, that's right. Cold blood runs through these veins now. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was his gimmick, was that he was like a hard ass or something now. And he didn't change his offensive style at all to reflect any type of change. And the only thing he did was put braids in his hair.
Right. And wore a jacket where that didn't really go along with, you know, the outfit.
Yeah, same basic, because I think he had moved to using the full-length tights at the end of his WWE run. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but...
Well, yeah, he went to full-length tights, but when he got to TNA, he went back to the pants.
Okay.
So, basically, like, he went backwards.
Yeah, no, I mean, so he didn't develop anything new when he was in TNA. And then... You know, he was part of the Immortal, which is still way too bloated, even though they kicked Ken Anderson out again for whatever, well, because he's not champ, I suppose.
Right.
And, you know, it's always good to have someone in and out of a group within, less than 3 weeks.
Right.
But, yeah, he was non-distinguishable there. He didn't do anything in TNA. Like, I mean... Most of the guys that come over from the WWE, at least initially, get some type of a big push. And even TNA didn't have the faith in him enough to give him any type of big push. Like, he wasn't even a featured member of Immortal. Like, he was just like, oh, yeah, because he's Jeff's brother, he's with us.
Right. Well, and that was the case. Did he take on RVD the first match?
Oh yeah, he did take on RVD. Okay.
And this isn't even a matter of being ill prepared, which, you know, okay, but it was such a lackluster run. He always had the gun to his head, or, you know, the finger guns thing, and it just came out, and he just came out, and you're like, well, this is the same dipshit with braided hair, just like you said. And then he didn't do anything to go out and disprove that. You know, he's supposedly in better shape, and, you know, everything's better this, and blah, 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 blah. But the promos never got better. His in-ring work, I'm not going to say it was bad, but it was nothing that was going to get him noticed.
Yeah, I mean, he was good, but he wasn't great. And then, well, even with the weight thing, he wasn't underweight. Like, he was still fat when he came in.
Mm-hmm.
And then just as his run started going, he started to drop the weight. And then that's when he got canned. And it was just like, and he'd been saying well before that, oh, I have my diet plan right. I know what I'm doing, this, that, and the other thing. It's just like, well, then why'd it take like another 3 months to get you moving in the right direction? Like, if you had the right diet plan and you're cutting out stuff with lots of fat in it and red meat, it's just like, well, then, you know, you should have started moving in this direction if you're doing everything that you were saying.
Yeah.
That's the worst part against, you know, with him telling everybody to, you know, bet against him now. It's just like, as you pointed out at the top, he's putting this stuff out. Like, we don't even, like, prompt him. Okay, we might have prompted him to take down that one video, but aside from that, like,
uh-huh.
All these videos aren't, you know, made with us in mind. You know, he's always saying that he's going to do this, he's going to do that. Like, it's all coming out of his mouth. And then when you find out the actions, it's the exact opposite.
Yes. And that's where it goes back to the support group thing. Look at Jeff. Look at his support group. Is Greg Helms. This is what I put in the post earlier. Greg Helms, another guy that gets drunk, or with DWI, DUI, whatever, crashes his motorcycle with him and his girlfriend on it. Yeah, Jeff Hardy, the drug charges thing. Shannon Moore, he's a leech, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you got Matt.
Shannon Moore is the most responsible person in that group.
So far.
How often has he been? I don't ever remember seeing him on any of the videos. And maybe it's just because I don't watch enough of them.
Could be.
And maybe he's on the Hardy show more often, because I've never watched that. I've only watched the regular Matt videos.
Well,
those are the only ones you sent to me, and honestly, I'm not going to waste my time on these pricks more than I am, like, on a show or something.
Yeah. Well, okay, so here's kind of what we were talking about. This was from Matt in one of his YouTube shows, okay? This is after his wreck. Now, remember, he's busted for DWI. There's another reckless driving charge now that doesn't go with this. He endangered himself. And I don't like doing that. Well, he endangered other people. Well, no, he endangered himself. You know, he crashed into a tree. You know, it's a tree, whatever. Here's what he wrote after this. And this is with the pending charges, okay? And none of this has been settled. When the side windows glass smashed into my face, arms, and neck, some of the blood that did. Okay. Some of the blood that did felt almost angelic. I'm getting this from .net because I don't feel like listening to it again. I went from being afraid to die to feeling like I was almost being reborn with some sort of absolute pure life force. Life Force is an underrated Tobe Hooper movie with a naked chicken almost the entire thing. It's well worth checking out. It was the most amazing thing I've ever – oh, my God, dude.
Yeah, no, he keeps on babbling.
Okay, now, this is how it's written, so I'm pretty sure. All right. It was the most amazing thing I've ever experienced. I felt like I just received the blood of an angel flowing inside me. I know this sounds crazy. Due to these, I only have urges to help people, and miraculously, all my vices are gone. This is the high school bullshit that this guy, his friends, and all their fans follow. And they live like this. I honestly believe every word that he believes every word he's saying.
Yeah, no. Well, he obviously does. You know, I mean, he wouldn't keep on putting this out for public consumption if he didn't believe that all this stuff were true.
But it's just embarrassing for an adult to talk like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not embarrassing to have a, you know, a life-changing moment, but...
No, absolutely not, yeah.
But, yeah, just to keep on saying that you've had life-changing moment after life-changing moment, it's like, okay, dude, like, how many life-changing moments do you need?
Yeah, and when is one actually going to change your life? I remember those uncomfortable YouTube videos with him in a jacuzzi, licking his lips, talking about how he's going to be reborn. He's going to do this and blah, 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 blah. That was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever. Then another one. And he's released from WWE. Then he puts videos up of him working out. And he's talking about this. Now, an absolute pure life force. If you want people to get on your side, you don't talk like you're in the 10th grade and the girlfriend you're with that just broke up with you is the end all be all of everything. It's the goth kids on South Park aren't this big of a douchebag. They're at least entertaining. But to be a 30-something year old man talking like that, you know,
The talking does not bother me nearly as much as the acting. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care how you want to talk. I mean, it is kind of high school, but you know what? Just fucking back up what you're going to say. You know, that's all I'm asking for him to do. And he hasn't ever.
Yeah, never. This is one of those – okay, this is one of those situations. You know where we ragged on R-Truth for a while, okay, when he was a face. He was awful. And I think it was almost every week we would mention how shitty he was, how much we hated him, whatever else. Then he turns it around. He gets better, and you go, well, you know what? We were wrong. His face character was terrible. But this guy's got the talent to pull off the gimmick he's got now. And it's not a matter of pride. That's not the right word. But there is a certain satisfaction in going, you know what? We were wrong on this one. There was something there with this guy. Because he grabbed something and went with it. Or The Miz, how bad he used to be. He improved, and look where he is at now. Matt Hardy is not one of those guys.
No, and I mean, I think I said this way back when he went to TNA. You know, he just seemed like he didn't want to develop. And I mean, I think we talked about that. We've talked about it since then too. Like, it's just like, oh, okay. Like, I'm saying that I'm better without doing anything better.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay. Like, yeah, develop something. And just nothing.
Yeah. It's a, he wants to do what he thinks is right. And everyone else is wrong. I mean, there's a certain amount of being like bullheaded or really wanting to take control of your career, you know, carrying it through. I'm going to do this and, you know, world be damned, whatever. But there has to be a certain point where you stop and look and go, it's not working. And you change or you start listening to people and it goes back to the support group. He has no one that's going to do that. And we talked about it with the Jeff Hardy video. He was enabling Jeff to act that way, and he was capitalizing on his brother's poor behavior. You can only figure it's being reciprocated. You've got those dullards just sitting around saying, yeah, everything will be fine. Yeah, you go post your shitty stuff to your fat fans and – or your fat female fans, excuse me. That's hard to say. I would love in a year, honestly. I mean, not love, but I will guarantee you in a year, if he's actually cleaned his shit up, gotten on TNA, became a viable part of it, because WWE won't touch him, if he was a Ring of Honor or Japan, something like that, if he can go make a name for himself, I'll admit we were wrong. Now, obviously, I'll say Eric, Kevin, and Dusty, and then I was wrong, but I'm going to put you guys first. But I'll still admit we were wrong. It'll never happen. I have the utmost faith you're never going to hear us say that he improved or he changed for the better.
Yeah, no, I'm not too worried about that one.
Yeah. All right. Well, we drove him into the ground. Usual.
Well, nah.
He does a good job of doing that himself too.
Well, so. we like to lob the bombs on the posts themselves and then explain away usually on the shows. So I hope people catch on to that.
Yeah, I also liked the idea that all those who are betting against me, I'm not wasting a wager on you. So there. Let's talk about some news that broke a little bit later in the day. We didn't even get a chance to talk about it, so this is all off the cuff. Pro Wrestling Torch was reporting that Mick Foley's apparently in talks with WWE to return, according to Mick Foley. he's on the Wrestling Voice podcast. Whoever Dwayne Dugan is, okay?
Yeah.
As Eric said, there's thousands of sites like ours that just want attention. And we're one of them, obviously. Okay, and quoting from the site, I hope this isn't exclusive news, so if it is, sorry, Wade. Foley says he has a couple more big matches in him. I'm starting to shed some of the extra weight, so if and when I get that call, I can have a good match. Maybe not a great match, but maybe I've got a couple more matches left in me. He also says, unlike TNA, if you weren't on the show, you weren't valued to the company. WWE, there's a number of things I could do, replace Booker T. So we're just trying to find out what we want it to be, and how big we want it to be. So there is some Foley speak in there. But that also comes with the territory of wrestlers pumping themselves up, and that's, you know, acceptable. Are there any big matches left for him in WWE?
I mean, I don't really have any want for him to, be in, any matches in particular right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have no reason. Why would I want him to face John Cena? Like,
that was my first one. Yeah.
Del Rio? Like, what, no. You know, what good does he do for Del Rio?
Well, if they had Del Rio brought up as more of the man, of like the rich guy, but not where he is right now, you could have Common Man Mick Foley versus, you know, rich guy Alberto Del Rio, but real basic. That's about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess I can't think of, like, because he's going to come back as a babyface.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of any heel that really would benefit from the rub. Like, what, Mark Henry is not going to do anything. It's not going to do anything for him. You know,
what about The Miz?
Yeah, I guess it'd work for The Miz.
I actually do like that idea.
Yeah.
Because you could just see Miz just tearing him down, just dressing him down the whole time.
Yeah, and it would definitely work with the whole, you know, I have good looks, you're just a schlub-looking dude
right.
thing. Yeah, no, actually, that would be a match that I could get behind.
Yeah, I think I could get behind the verbal exchanges. I just don't think I could get behind seeing Foley in a match, though. Because we've heard this before from him, and it's not in the Matt Hardy territory, but he does talk about how he'll lose the weight to get into shape for matches. Or he's, you know, it'll help when I lose some more weight. I mean, the guy's been through copious amounts of pain. His body's wearing down. I mean, he hasn't had a rough schedule, and really, I don't know the last time he wrestled. It had to be TNA, but...
And I think that might have been like the very beginning when he went in there and he had that match with Flair.
Yeah, I think that was the last one, maybe.
Yeah, he really didn't wrestle. I mean, if he wrestled more than that one time, I would still put it below six how many times he actually got in the ring for them.
And really, it, depending on who he was working with, Foley, you know, always bumps up his own stuff. That whole thing with how him and Ric Flair had this great verbal exchange and this and this and this, and it wasn't that good. I mean, it was just because Flair is not someone you can work with anymore. He just yells. So there's the hype factor with Foley where you have to take into consideration he may just be bullshitting. And that all of this, we're having this conversation for no reason.
Oh, yeah. Well, he does have the point, though, that maybe they would hire him for, you know, as an agent or a writer or something like that. I mean, if they're truly into changing things up and, you know, they want to do things a little bit differently, maybe they bring him in as, you know, as another writer or something or a consultant. I don't, you know. I mean, I do agree on that end. Now, whether they bring him in or not is a whole different ball game that I don't feel like speculating on.
But, right.
You know, yeah, there are a lot of spots where they could use him and still have him, you know, maybe wrestle those one or two matches or something that they feel like would really benefit. Because, I mean, he might get a win somewhere along the line, but for the most part, he's probably going to job to help pump somebody up.
Yeah. And I think that's the position he needs to be in. He did wonders for Edge. He really did. And I think he could do the same for Miz.
Well, and he even, back in the day, he really helped get Hunter, you know, that to that last step.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. I just don't know. I guess I'm going back to the rack of my brain on the big matches. CM Punk comes to mind, but I can't see how. Unless Foley goes, well, I got your job here, or something like stupid like that.
Right.
Christian, I mean, talking heels, Christian, not a lot there either. So it's just an interesting thing for him to say. That he has some big matches, but there's not a lot of big match talent for him to work with. Not that there's not big talent, but not big match talent.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he's just so divorced from it to me, and he's just not quite a big enough name that you can just throw him in there with anybody. Like, he's, I shouldn't even say it that way. Like, I guess there's just no longing for me to go, oh my gosh, these two styles just really match up well or something. Right. Like, oh, I think that they just really hit it off in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't get that vibe from anybody, really.
Yeah. I think the word you used that was perfect was longing. I don't think the audience is longing for Mick Foley. I don't think the current fan is sitting around going, man, I really wish they'd bring Mick Foley in, or whatever happened to Mick Foley. And it's not bagging on him, but he's been so far removed as an active wrestler with WWE. He was a commentator, and then he just disappeared as commentator. It'd just be like if Booker T disappeared, I don't think a whole lot of people would be longing for Booker T to come back, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, he still didn't even get that, you know, I mean, the couple of matches that Booker wrestled, he did not exactly get an explosive response either.
Right. Right. I think maybe your hardcore towns, Chicago, Boston, New York, possibly Detroit, maybe Dallas, you know, like the real hardcore fans, or the real rabid fans, excuse me, would pop big for it. But it would have to be, you'd have to check and see about a sustained reaction after that. And I don't think that works. I just don't think the longing is there for him to come back to insert himself like they've done with Kevin Nash into the mix.
Yeah, and I mean, even with Nash, they've waited how long to put him on TV?
True. But he also had a storyline that made that you could work in that would make sense too. So
well,
with Nash,
right?
But that's what you were saying too. Nash at least makes sense to add into the story. I don't see where Mick Foley can be added in anywhere.
Oh, yeah, no, he has the the natural connection to Triple H. So, yeah. It's like, oh, okay.
I mean, outside of him being a general manager or commissioner, whatever he was way back when, and, you know, the feud with Hunter, that's about it.
Yeah. And plus, I mean, it always helps, no matter how wobbly-kneed Kevin Nash is.
Yeah.
He's a big dude. I mean, there's just getting around it. That guy's going to be a big dude Nash is going to be a big dude until the day he dies. Foley, he's just, you know, there.
He's a teddy bear looking sort of guy.
Yeah.
And I think that he maybe could have retained some of that Cactus Jack persona, like, you know, the dangerous persona sort of thing, or Mankind. But now I think it's way too late for him to be taken, you know, real serious as like a dangerous wrestler or something like Kevin Nash.
Oh, yeah.
And this is something, since we mentioned his name, or I did, whatever. Nash on TV comes across as a scary-ass guy. When you could see it when he was getting mad at CM Punk the other day, last week, and then even this week when he like gave Punk the cheap shot. How intimidating! I mean, you said he was pretty chill, pretty cool, but did you get like that intimidation factor at all from him? I mean, I know he's like really tall, but he's a big tall as well.
Yeah, no. When he started talking about Ricky Morton pissing him off.
Mm-hmm.
I think both Dan and I noted it. He really seemed genuinely pissed. And if that was a turn, I'm just going to turn this on and really sell this match with Ricky Morton because somebody asked me about it.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, he's pretty fucking good at turning the anger on.
Okay. I know he's a thespian as well, but.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go with thespian. When
Almighty Thor doesn't really count, and he didn't say anything in Punisher, so.
Yeah, and when your only emotion that you do well is anger, there's kind of another range of emotions that he doesn't really cover. And it's nice for me to start doing hand gestures like somebody's going to fucking see it.
I'm sure the dogs will appreciate your commitment to the art. Whatever.
Yeah, one's chewing their ass out and the other one's just waiting for me to take him on a spin.
Yeah. I mean, going back to Foley, I'm not against the idea of him being brought in. If they use it, I think the Kevin Nash drag out, and I think you mentioned it in your I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden.
Almost live, definitely half-assed view of Raw.
Well, I gotta be quicker on those.
I just wanted to make sure that you were talking about Nash and you weren't talking about the meet and greet stuff.
No. We're back to Nash on Raw, but I think you mentioned it too. It's like, how has no one just said the obvious and got him a contract or signed him? You know, even if it's for one match, which is fine. That's where they're gonna go with this, but you can't drag it out. I mean, if you're trying to be smart about stuff. You can't keep doing this stuff. I don't know. You don't want to risk run the risk of it turning into an old-timers convention again. By bringing Foley in, having Nash on your TV, unless they're there strictly to put the young guys over and make them look strong, too.
Yeah, well, and the other thing that I guess is bad about the idea that you have is that really something like SmackDown could use him more than Raw, but the only ideas we came up with basically were for Raw.
Yes. Maybe Mick Foley, Wade Barrett. I don't know. Just throwing that out there. So there's that.
Yeah, everybody against Wade Barrett.
Yeah, get that man a feud. Because I can't see Cody Rhodes maybe. Saying Foley's ugly. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. What other news item were we going to talk about? I totally forgot.
Ray.
Did you want? What's that? Oh, yeah. Ray Mysterio. As we talked about last week during one of the part one or two, I think it was two of Stunt Granny Audio 151. Kevin and I were talking about Rey Mysterio and how, you know, it's not for us to tell somebody to get surgery, but, you know, rehabbing is not going to work. Well,
you said that rehabbing wasn't going to work. I said that it has worked in some occasions.
Yeah. So basically this Friday, Rey Mysterio is going under the knife to get a torn, it was an ACL, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Get a torn ACL repaired, and he'll be out possibly 6 months.
Well, and that was the other thing, is that they went from saying like it was a severe sprain or something like that to saying it was a torn ACL. I can't say I've looked up which, you know, what injury they said it was exactly, but yeah, they kind of, to me, upped the level of severity.
Yeah. The big time.
In the injury department. It's like, well, yeah, no, if you have a torn ACL, your ass better begin surgery.
Yeah. But I know he's been working through knee injury for, what, better part of a year and a half now? And they gave him some time off with the initial Alberto angle where he hurt Ray. But this is something I posted on. This is a good time, and I know, you know, Ray may disagree because of surgery and he'll be out, but this is a good time for him to do it. He's only 35. I think he's young. He's younger than I am, but you too. He's really slowed down, in part because of injuries. This is going to let other stuff heal as well. And really, there's nothing for him to do on Raw. I mean, they ran into that problem with Miz and R-Truth as well. Hence, they're a tag team now. Or they seem to be a team.
Well, they're doing something. I mean, they've both only had basically promos the last 2 weeks.
Right. Well, I guess. No. R-Truth had that match with John Morrison.
Okay, yeah.
And then Miz had his angle with Jared from Subway. So, yeah. But no, it's a good time for him to go out. I know he doesn't want to be out. You know, if he was on SmackDown, maybe things would be different, to be honest. But having surgery, getting out now, if the time frame runs correct, he could be back in time for WrestleMania. And since they've kind of put Rock and Cena on the back burner without mentioning it lately, you've got the potential angles with him coming back to take on Alberto one last time. Because there's the angle that Ray cannot beat him.
Oh, yeah. And, well, I guess it's a minor point, but there's only so much you can do with Rock and Cena without, you know, half of the equation.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
He can love the WWE all he wants, but I think that's one point that, to me, you can't really fault Cena for.
No. and that's the argument that Rock will always lose. He will always lose that. If he loves it so much, he'd make time every Monday to be there. Or make time to film an actual production piece. Not him on some California mountainside talking about John Cena and how the adults don't like him. You know?
Yeah. Yep. So anywho, getting back to Ray though, yeah. I agree with you that it's a pretty solid time for him to, you know, to take a break. You know, we've mentioned before, but I mean, they only have Survivor Series and Royal Rumble really when he's, in between. There's not really that much of a build up for matches. There is a build-up for matches at Survivor Series now, since it's not really a Survivor Series thing. It's just really the name. And, well, Royal Rumble, there's only, you know, what, 3 matches? You know, usually 2 title matches and 1 other match, probably a women's match. And then the rest of it is the Royal Rumble itself.
Right.
So, I mean, match-wise, there's not going to be much for him. You know, he might miss out on the Elimination Chamber or something like that. But, you know, I mean, there just isn't much going on. You know, it is kind of a good time to,
yeah,
you know, to be injured.
Yeah. I mean, in Night of Champions pay-per-view, he wouldn't have been on anyways. I don't know what's after. No, that's September. I don't remember what October is offhand. And then Survivor Series, and then Judgment Day or Armageddon, whatever it's called, in December. Then you got the Rumble, Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania. So the odds of him not being booked for the next pay-per-view were good anyways, because he didn't have a natural title feud with anybody. It's just a positive. And you know me, I'm not like one of those like overly positive, try to find the positive nature of everything. But if there is, this was the right time. It also gets him off the road for 6 months, which most wrestlers need. I mean, I'm not going to sound like other people, but getting him off the road for a month would be good. And getting Ray off the road for after all his injuries, all his, you know, wear and tear for 6 months, that's really good. And I know it's going to be rehabbing, so it's not going to be all, you know, pickles and roses, but... Yeah.
Pickles and roses. Nice choice there.
I don't know. What was this? Shits and grins or what is it?
Shits puppies and giggles.
Yeah, there's that. And then what's it? Puppies and kittens or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just like the word pickle. It's funny. So,
okay.
Yeah. So yeah, there's not much to add other than, well, we kind of called it, or I called it, I guess.
Yeah.
Got to get surgery. Get it done. Get back on the road. Got 2 years left before you retire or go back to Mexico. I know his contract's coming up, too, so that could be another deciding factor in it.
Well, I'd say go back to San Diego, which is almost Mexico, but...
is San... All right,
no, it's San Diego, that, like, Northern California? Right on the border?
I thought San Diego's in Northern California.
No.
I don't know. I've never been there. I don't care.
It's California. No, it's south.
I just know it means whale's vagina. That's all I need to know about San Francisco. San Diego. Who gives a fuck where he is from? I do appreciate how 619 is now an international area code. Did you catch that on Raw yesterday on the commercial for the merchandise?
No. I think I did hear that.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, and this, so we're done with Ray, but that merchandise commercial drove me insane. And only because, I mean, as a clear CM Punk fan, whatever, but they didn't put his merchandise in that commercial at all, okay? If you go to the arenas live, you see that white ringer t-shirt of CM Punk's all over the place now.
Yeah, because judging from the crowd, people are snapping those up at a good rate.
Yes, and this is always Eric's idea. It does, and Edge said this as well, so I got it from Eric that he told me. Edge said you always make a wrestling t-shirt so it doesn't look like a wrestling t-shirt. CM Punk's doesn't look like a wrestling t-shirt, except for, well, the back, I guess, sort of.
Yeah, no, it's like one of those things that people like, their signature shirts or whatever the hell they call them, I can't think of it offhand, and again, I'm not going to look it up, but... maybe I am going to look it up here. I'm trying to think of the line of shirts that is. Of course, I'm probably going to get fucking bullshit piped into my ears right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, what's the use of going to a website if you don't make noises all the time?
Yeah, to keep your interest on anything but the actual reason you went to it to read something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it gets your attention. Well, it makes me not want to go to your website anymore. Little something called .net. Listen up to that one. But no, the merchandise one just cracked me up. I mean, there was
yeah, I think it's called their Authentics.
Okay.
It's either Authentic or Top. I think it might be the Top Rope. Yeah, it's the Top Rope one, which...
That's not a bad name, actually.
But they kind of go a little Affliction on those shirts, and I'm not the biggest fan.
No.
The Sin Cara shirt looks kind of sharp.
I'll have to look those up. You're the one that pays attention to that design stuff more than I do, so...
Yeah, I'm hoping to maybe re-add that here now that I'll have a little bit more access to the internet.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right, well... Let's not blast everybody with another hour episode and then an episode later in the week of an hour. we're about the 45-minute mark, which for us is a miracle. So let's bust this out. Hopefully the iTunes, hopefully Apple's iTunes will accept our piddly little podcast. I guess we have to start calling this now. Whatever. It'll still be called the Sunk Granny Audio Show. Hopefully this will, if it is accepted, it will lend us or lead us to daily updates. That's the hopefully the plan. And okay, on Twitter we're at Stunt Granny, at Ringo 11, at Granny Maze, at Dusty Gabank. There's at the other guy. You can look it up since he's being secretive. Need us to do anything? StuntGranny@gmail.com. You can leave a comment on the post. Facebook page is in the work. I said that last time. I think that's it. So I'm out of here. Have a good night, guys, or day, whatever it is.
Yeah, no, that was hysterical. I had no idea what you were going for when you started talking the first thing. You blanked again. I'm like, where's he going? Isn't he clothing this? Oh, okay, yeah, we've got to whore our stuff out first.
Yep.
So, okie doke. For myself, have a good night, grandkids, and enjoy a sippy time beer when you get the chance.